السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا. Thank you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned this verse of the Surah Ash-Shura, 25th chapter, that whosoever desires by his deeds and a'mal, good actions, the reward of the hereafter, we give him increase in his reward. And whosoever desires the reward of this world by his bad actions, we give him thereof what is decreed for him, and he has no portion in hereafter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, the whole world and whatever it contains has been created for you, but you are not created for this world. You are for hereafter. You are for akhirah. That's why in one of the ayat, Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us the reality of this world. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمُ وَلَعِبُ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. What is the life of this world? It's only amusement and the gain. And real life is in hereafter, if they understand or if they know about it. So, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compared the entire life of this world is just like amusement, couple of hours. That's the reality. And hereafter is forever, everlasting. So our main purpose, my brothers and sisters, is to prepare for hereafter. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The main purpose of our existence in this dunya is to make an effort through our good actions and amal for hereafter. That's why in this Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the criteria, a person who is working, you know, amal, man kana yurid, irada means intention. His intention is hereafter. Whatever he's doing, his intention is to benefit, to achieve the success in hereafter. And innamal amal bin niyat, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that your amal, your actions, your deeds has been based on your intention. So whatever he's doing, regardless, is doing for deen. For example, performing salah, intention should be, I'm praying this salah to get the reward in hereafter. Fasting, intention should be, I'm staying hungry to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can achieve the reward and his pleasure in hereafter. Giving sadaqah, charity, zakat, intention should be, I am spending this money in path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the reward in hereafter. Whatever amal, helping somebody, for dunyavi amal or dini amal, intention is priority. Intention is very, very essential and important. If you have ikhlas, if you have sincerity, it's a small amal, will take you a long way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you abundance, reward for your intention, because of your ikhlas, because of your sincerity. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, any good amal a person is doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of akhirah, immediately the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala said in this verse, man kana yuridu harsa al-akhirati nazid lahu fi harsi, that we are going to increase in reward. So in other place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalih. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just do one good action with ikhlas, with sincerity, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediate reward, regardless, confirm, is 10 times more. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalha. And then in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, the more ikhlas in your amal, in your action, the more reward, 100 times, 700 times, even more, unlimited, right? So, for hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, whoever is going to do any deed, any amal, for hereafter, we are going to increase. On the other side, a person is make irada or intention for any action, for any deed, and his intention is to achieve the benefit or pleasure or luxury or comfort of this world. Whatever his intention, whatever his effort, whatever his time he's spending to achieve his goal, he's not going to get 100%. Nu'tihi minha. In Arabic terms, nu'tihi minha. Because decision is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's spending 100% time, 100% effort, 100% sacrifice, 100% wealth, 100% his health to achieve something. But he's not going to get 100%. Nu'tihi minha. Allah ta'ala says, we are going to give him little bit whatever we have decreed for him before he was born. Although his plan, his effort were to achieve 100%, but he's not going to get 100%. He will only get it whatever we have decreed for him before his birth. Nu'tihi minha. And then the loss, wa ma lahu fil akhirati min naseeb. He will only get whatever he will get in this dunya, in hereafter he will have nothing. Zero. What? His intention was wrong. His effort was right. Sacrifice was right. But intention was for dunya, for this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he will not get anything in hereafter. So this is the total loss. Shaykh Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh was a very great saint of Islam, very learned and very intelligent personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him a divine knowledge. He has written a very world famous book, Masnavi of Rumi. He written one story, very interesting. And there is a lot of wisdom and lesson for us in this story. Sheikh Rumi said, there was a man who got a diamond from somehow. So he came to the jeweler of the town, show him the diamond. He say, how much the cost and value of this diamond? The jeweler checked the diamond, tested it, you know, the way they test is right or wrong, is it, you know, correct or not. After, you know, examining the diamond, he was a very honest person. He said, brother, this is very, very valuable diamond. Even the whole mall and even the whole town can be given to you as the price of this diamond is not sufficient. It's more valuable than the price of this entire town. So I suggest you rather go to the king, and king will be able to give you the right price of this valuable diamond. So that man became very excited. So he went to the king in the palace and he requested, sir, I got this diamond and I want to sell it. Please give me the price of this diamond. When the king saw the diamond, immediately he got affected by the beauty and shining of the diamond. And he said to his chief minister, take this diamond for me and pay him the price. So now the diamond, the king, you know, given to the chief minister, wazir. Now wazir is checking again, just like a jeweler check. And after examining the diamond, he came to the conclusion. He said to the king, "Sir, this diamond is unique, very, very precious, very, very valuable. If you give him your all treasure as the price of this diamond, still you will not be able to fulfill the real price of this diamond. It's so valuable." King said, "Anyway, I want this diamond. Make some plan." Because that's why the wazir, the position of the wazir is to solve the problem. That's why the CEOs and big people, they hire the secretary to solve their problems. He said, I don't want to listen to anything. I love this diamond. I want it in any case. It's up to you now. How you gonna, you know, buy from this person without cheating him?" So the chief minister was very intelligent person. That's why he was on that position. He made a plan. He came to that person and said, "Look, our king loved your diamond and he want to purchase the diamond. And that is the plan. Tomorrow morning, you come, give it to me, this diamond right now. I'm going to give to the king. And tomorrow morning, you come to the palace, you come to the court, the gate will be open for you. And I'm going to give you the whole day. You come into the palace and collect all the expensive items, luxurious items, wherever you find in the palace, you take it. And you take it out with you before sunset. Your time will start in the morning, immediately after sunrise, and up till the sunset, you have time, ample time, to collect whatever you can collect from the palace, from the treasure. No one will stop you. You have full authority." So person got excited, said that the palace and the treasure of the king, and I have granted the permission to collect as much. I'm going to grab everything. So next morning, he couldn't sleep whole night because of the excitement that tomorrow I'm going to go early morning. I'm going to go this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to collect like this much, and then I'm going to take it, and I'll be richest person of the world. And this. He was planning whole night. He couldn't sleep, twist and turn whole night. Early morning, he went out in excitement, and he came to the palace. The watchman welcomed him. "Come in, sir. Welcome, welcome. Good morning. Come inside." So he was very happy. And so that servant took him to the first hall of the palace. And over the night, the chief minister has made some arrangement for him. And in this hall, he hanged all the different kinds of the clothes and garments, different designs, different colors, different, you know, style is hanging all over the hall. He entered into the room and he found there are so many, you know, garments is hanging in the entire room, different color, different designs. You know, he never seen like that. So he came to one dress, put it on his body and see in front of the mirror. He didn't like it, he took away, put it another one, third one, like that. He keep on doing, changing his dresses. Eventually, he likes one dress which is most beautiful and very, very, you know, like desirable. He put that dress on his body and is feeling like he's a king. Then the servant took him to the next room because he have to tour the whole palace. Now he went to the next room and there the chief minister has organized the varieties of the food, different kind of dishes, sweet dishes, salty dishes, this and that, barbecue, what and what. And the good fragrance of the food is coming out from all over the corner. And that boy, this man, entered to the next room and he found the table is full of varieties, food, different kind of foods and fruits and what and what. And this poor guy couldn't sleep last night. And he was hungry, right? when he saw this tasty food, delicious food in front of him, he couldn't control himself. Someone said, "Sir, this is all for you. Eat as much you can." So he started eating, tasting, different tasting. He overate. You know, when we go to the party and there are delicious food, different kind of, you know, we overeat always, right? We always overeat. So he ate so much. Now, the minister took him to the third room. And there was a beautiful, you know, bed, like Carl King or maybe bigger than that, and mattress, and their servant was standing side by the bed and, you know, giving the fan and, you know, all those services. So this man entered into the third room and he found a beautiful bed over there. And because he couldn't sleep last night, and now he ate so much, overeating. So the moment he went to the third room and he saw the bed is prepared and ready, so servant said, "Please, you are, you know, tired must be, you couldn't sleep last night. Have a rest little bit and then you can continue." So he thought himself that I got a whole day. I can still go ahead and I can achieve and get my valuable things from the palace and treasure. But now, because I couldn't sleep last night, and now I ate also a little bit more, so let me just rest a little bit. So he rested on the bed. Now the servant is, you know, doing the fan, and, you know, the breeze is coming from all over. And within a minute, because he was tired for a whole night, he couldn't sleep, so he slept there and there. Now he's sleeping, now he's snoring, and time is passing. Afternoon, late afternoon, right? He's sleeping nicely. Now, just before sunset, that servant woke him up. So he excited, "What happened?" He said, "Sir, you have given the time up till sunset, and in the few minutes, sun is setting down. So please, you can get out from this palace, your time is over." So he amazed. He said, "I didn't go further. I have to check so many rooms and I have to gather my treasure and valuable items, and I was just resting for a little while. Please give me a little extra time." Someone said, "No, your time was fixed. You have given time till sunset only, whole day. And you have wasted your time in putting on the clothes and eating and sleeping. Now is sunset, time is over, get out from here." So they chase him out. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, after mentioning this story, he said, "This is the reality of our life. The diamond is our life. The precious time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, 60, 70, 100 years. And why the diamond was given to us? To utilize it, to prepare for hereafter. But what are we doing over here? We're just spending our time for buying the clothing, eating the food, and resting and sleeping, enjoying. And the Malakul Maut will come towards the end of the day, and he will say, 'Come, your time is up.' إِذَا جَاءَ أَجْلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةٌ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the time comes, fixed, Malakul Maut will come and snatch your ruh immediately and at the fixed time. So this story gives us the lesson of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this dunya to prepare for akhirah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum," that whole world and whatever it contains has been created for you. But you are not for this world. You are created for hereafter. And you are wasting your time, you know, just in this dunya. There was a very rich person, millionaire, and is dying in the hospital bed. Just before death, he expressed his remorse and his regrets. He said, "I have most expensive branded car in park in my garage. Because I'm a millionaire. But I was confined to a wheelchair. I have, you know, expensive car in my garage. But look at me, I'm sitting in the wheelchair of the hospital because I'm disabled. All the different designs and colors, expensive, imported, branded clothes, my wardrobes, my room is full. Different kind of shoes, different kind of clothes and accessories, full in my closet, in my room. But look at me, I am in the hospital bed wearing a short hospital gown. When a person is admitted in the hospital as a patient, regardless is a layman, ordinary person, or is a millionaire, or king, or president, the process of the hospital, the uniform of the hospital will be the same. They're not going to give the beautiful gown to the president or the prime minister. He is going to have same hospital gown, cotton, right? And that's the reality. At home, he got so many desirable clothing, but here is only wearing a garment of the hospital. And then he said, I have lots of money in my bank account. I'm a millionaire, but it is no use to me. My house and all my properties, luxuries, vast, beautiful, but here I'm lying in the small single bed of the hospital. That's my place of resting, small little bed of the hospital. On the other side, I have so many luxuries, properties, palaces, everything. But this is only I'm going to utilize, I'm going to use on myself, is only single bed of this hospital. And he said, because I'm the CEO of the so many companies, you know, international companies, import and export. So every day I used to have lunch and dinner in 5-star, 7-star hotels with other people, you know, CEOs and managers of different companies get together, and every day we used to have the lunch and the dinner, delicious, expensive dinner and lunch, where? In the 5-star and 7-star hotels. Today, I'm sitting here and my dinner and lunch is 2 pills, 3 pills, little juice, you know, because I have been prohibited to eat any food. Disease, sickness, illness. My food as a dinner and as a lunch is a few capsules, few medicines. On that I am surviving. Oxygen is there on my nose, you know. And I have thousands and millions of dollars in my account. I cannot eat, I cannot use it. That's the reality, my brothers. And this is the how everyone is going to die and leave and depart from this dunya. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us, and there's only one life to live. There is no other chance. Everyone, since he became baligh, or since, you know, he got mature and got the job or business, whatever, he's working so hard, 8 hours, 10 hours. If you ask him, brother, you don't come for Fajr, for Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib? I'm so busy. Why are you busy? I'm buying the house for my families. I have to pay the mortgage. I have to pay these bills and that bills. That's why I have to earn more and more. Why are you working so hard? He said, for my family, for my children, for their future, for the bright future. But reality, my brothers and sisters, we all have to understand. Every child is born with his own food, with his own risk, a risk maksumun. He will get only that much risk and sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided, predetermined in the womb of his mother. You are working 8 hours, 10 hours to make him rich. He's not going to become rich through your effort. He will only get this much what is written in his taqdeer, in his fate. You're working hard is not going to make him or her rich. He will only get his portion, his kismat, his fate. But you are wasting your valuable time, making him rich, making him comfortable, buying the house for him, clothing, this and that, at the same time, you are wasting and losing your akhirat. Your akhirat is yours. And your relationship, my brothers and sisters, with your spouse, with your parents, with your siblings, with your children, is as long as you are on surface of the earth. The moment you go under the earth, there is no relationship. Every relationship will be cut off. For whom you work so hard your entire life, you know, making them rich, making them live the comfortable house and car and everything, you paying for it, and you wasted your valuable time to make them rich. But at the other side, you did not work for your own akhirat. You did not work for your own qabr. You did not work for your own hashar, your own jannah. You wasted time thinking and working for someone else which have no regard for you whatsoever. On the Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِّرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. That's the reality. This is the ayat of the Quran. Go and read the translation of it. Then a brother will run away from the brother, mother will run away from the daughter, father will run away from the son, brother. There is no relationship whatsoever. Everybody will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, go away. I cannot give you one good deed from my side because I need more today. For whom you wasted your whole life, and here you standing with zero amal, and they all are running away from you. So before that day come, my brothers, we have to prepare for our own akhirat, for our own qabr. One hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi mu'afan fi jasadihi indahu qutu yawmin faka'annama hizat lahu ad-dunya. Aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever woke up in the morning safe and sound, no sickness, no disease, his family is okay, his children are sound and okay, he must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Fajr Salat is so important. When you wake up from the bed, first thing, bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting you the new day to prepare for akhirat. And you are still alive. Otherwise, people sleep and the ruh is snatched away while they are sleeping. They cannot see the sunrise of the next morning. But Allah has granted you, extended your life, appreciate it. Utilize it for your own qabr and akhirah. You see, whoever is wakes up and he found himself sound and safe, and mu'afan fi jasadi, there is no disease in your body. You are still healthy. And indahu quta yawmihi, that's all you need. And he has that much of morsel, or that much of food, which is sufficient for that particular day. Because next day he's not sure he's going to be alive or he's going to be dead. He only need the risk of a day. If a person get that much of risk, quto yawm, one day of risk, and this is min halal, min sources of the halal, faka annama, he is a person like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him entire world, he is a king of the world. If just had this much, and that is sufficient for us, may Allah give us tawfiq, to value our time and prepare and use it that to prepare for hereafter.